Hi, it's Gene Simmons. You're listening to Podcast Rock City, but you knew that.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings, Kiss Army.
And look, we got to have a blast from the past today. All the way from episode 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Podcast Rock City, Miss Lee, the Goddess of Thunder, Westy. How you doing, Lee?
How you guys doing? And it's Dr. Westy, excuse me.
Ooh, that's so true. Now, listen. Sonny, he's with his family this week, so we had to have somebody else on. So we ran into Lee at the expo, yep. And she's like, hey, I got time. I want to do an episode. I'm like, hell yes. So Lee was original Podcast Rock City. When I first started doing the show, it was me and Lee and our friend Rick and his son Trey. And we did like 5 episodes, but it was really hard to get together because everybody was spread out and we really didn't have the Skype thing down. Had we had the Skype thing down, this would have been so much easier.
Yeah, the equipment was brutal back then.
Yeah, it was really brutal. And, you know, so we're talking 5 years ago. And when we first got started, like Lee, you know, if y'all don't know who Lee is, she was on a TV show and on MTV. What was it called?
It was VH1, the Kiss Fan Club.
Yes, Kiss. Yeah, that's right. The fan club, and you got. And that was a lot of years ago. But to this day, when people talk about Kiss fandom and their Kiss rooms, I'm always like, "Dude, you've never been in Lee Westy's home." And now you have a house. Now, before you were in like a condo.
Yes. Now the house is covered.
It was. And I'll tell you this, when we were doing the radio show the other day, somebody pitched us a question while we were on air. And I thought of you immediately. It said, let's say you're at a Kiss concert and Gene Simmons spits out gum. Do you pick it up? And I said, Lee Westy would pick it up.
Well, so, you got my collection, yes.
Absolutely. And then I told the story about how you have an apple core. Do you still have the apple core?
I do have it.
That is the funniest thing.
So 1994. Let's see, 1994.
It's like you could cure cancer with whatever.
Yeah, it's like a rock. It's like a little tiny.
Still, Gene was eating it. He threw it away, and you went right in and got it.
No, he was eating it. It was at the Blaze Fest. It was up north. They, you know, before the reunion and everything. And we were all in the hotel lobby. It was my first time ever meeting him at all. I mean, dying as it was, you know. And he was eating an apple, and he went to throw it out, and I just went up to him and put my hand out. He put it in my hand. So stupid. Then I won't say what he did to me after that, but I was kind of like, I am not worthy type thing to him, and he, like, pushed my head down. You know how he is.
Yeah. So great. I mean, I used to love, I could walk around your, I have not been to your new house.
You got to come out.
I will. I used to walk around your house and just marvel at the amazingness, and it was just so much fun, and I, you know, I'm so glad that we've hooked up tonight, because this is going to be fun. So, yeah. Let's talk about you first, and then why we're here.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yay!
Lee is original Kiss. She's OG. Okay. And that's the way she was for a while. And so when did you started being a Kiss fan? When you were what, 10, 12?
I was 11. Yeah, 1975. My brother brought home, like, I would just, whatever my brother did, his albums I liked, you know. So he brought home Kiss Alive, and I just saw it, and I was like, what is that? And he's like, that's Kiss. And I just saw the album, and I freaked out, and I took it. Like, I put my name in it. He was all mad. I wrote my name inside of it. I still have it.
Awesome.
And that's it. I mean, and then my friend Donna, the two of us were just all into it. My parents let me put posters all over the wall. I mean, it was put the makeup on all the time. My mother told me I'd get zits from it, you know.
Now, there's a picture you've always had on your Facebook profile. It's of you and Donna at 12, right?
Yep.
Okay, and you're taking a picture. You basically took a picture in the mirror? That's how you did that?
Oh, no, it's just a photo. It was we put a concert on. There was actually four in the photo, but I cut it just to show me and Donna, but there was four of us, and we used to put concerts on down in our friend's basement, charge the kids a quarter, cool. You know, in 1970s.
That is the original female Kiss tribute band.
Yeah, but we played badminton rackets, you know?
That's all.
And we had like balloons up. We pinned them on the ceiling. We put confetti inside the balloons, and then we had pins on the end of the badminton rackets. And we, at the end of the show, we'd hit the balloons with the pins and get confetti.
Genius.
Used ketchup for blood, you know.
Right.
So that was where the photo came from. It was a real photo. She put the star on the wrong eye. You know, back as 12-year-olds, she'd look in the mirror and then look at the photo of Paul and just put it on the wrong eye just from a mirror image, you know. So that's where that came from.
So you guys got together last weekend, you and Donna, and you reenacted the photo. Now, one of the things that's first of all, it's on kissonline.com.
Yeah.
And the star is on the wrong eye on purpose. That is important for you to know, because we are having it's for purity. If you put it on the eye, but you were wearing the boots that you were wearing, Bleed.
Yeah, man. All right, so we've been friends since we were babies. So, you know, we've been friends the whole time. So I knew she was coming up for the expo, coming down. She's up in Indiana now. We grew up in upstate New York together. And she's like, I'm coming down. I was like, yeah, you know. So I said, we got to reenact this photo. And she's like, all right, you know. So I said, you got to put the star in the wrong eye, just like old school, you know.
So yeah.
So we got the turtleneck and everything. She had a turtleneck on with the choker over it. And my... last time I was home, I went up to my mom's attic and I saw those boots, and I hadn't even planned to do this, but I took the boots with me from Christmas, and I was like, I can't believe these boots are, because those were my mom's boots back then that I stole from her closet. So I took them with me. So I happened to have those, you know, and then the background, I had to get the wood paneling. So I got a bunch of cardboard and some contact paper that looked like wood paneling, and I made the background for the photo.
Okay, now listen. Now what you heard, is I want to explain. I know. Look, I know it sounds a little like I'm kind of gushing over Lee, but there's a reason. Okay, Lee is a go-getter. Okay, and I mean this in the best way possible. If Lee sees something and she wants to do it, by God, she is. Do it. And I mean that. When I met Lee, she didn't know how to play bass. Now she kicks ass at bass. She's in a couple of different bands, including a Cheap Trick band, including Iron Mullet, right?
Yep,
And how many different basses do you own now? You had one.
Seven. And I was, of course, in the first all-female Kiss tribute, Black Diamond.
Black Diamond.
My first band.
Right. When I first met you, you were like, oh, man, these girls want me to... Well, it wasn't when I first met you. It was when you first met them. And you were like, you know, these girls want me in their band, and I don't know how to play bass, but I'm going to go for it. And man, Lee! Okay, now, this is... And I'm serious. So when she talks about, like, designing a wall to look in the back, it's like full-on seriousness, man. I can't explain. If she says, I am going to be this character at Dragon Con this year, she will show up and you will be like, holy shit, she's that character at Dragon. She is great at all the artsy stuff. And when she sees a goal, she goes for it. And I love that about you. I always have. And you know, and I know that you just recently finished your tattoo goal, right? Your signature goal.
I did.
Okay, tell everybody about that, because this to me is spectacular, and then it connects with me. So go ahead.
So I decided. Well, Gene was my first one. I have like five favorite bass players that inspired me to. I feel like I'm a mixture of them on stage, kind of. So I have my five favorites. And the first time I met Gene, well, not the first time. I think it was this, when I met him the first time in the makeup for the fan club show. I had him sign my leg because I had had a little tattoo of a, it's a replica of the tattoos that were in Alive 2, like
right.
The Gene Destroyer head. I had that. So I had him sign on above it, and I had it tattooed on. So then I thought to myself, okay, I got Gene. I said, I wonder if I could meet the other four of my favorite bass players. So it became a goal.
Right.
So okay. That's what I did. I first, after Gene was, let's see who was next. I met Nikki Sixx, got him to sign me. Then I met Michael Anthony, got him to sign me. And this was over the course of about 15, 17 years.
Right. It did not come quickly.
No, it did not. And then I got Tom Peterson last year from Cheap Trick.
Cool.
And the last one was the hardest. Steve Harris.
Right.
Really hard to meet. Yeah.
Now, it was amazing, though, for me to follow you meeting the Cheap Trick's bass player.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
He went and had somebody get his bass so you could take pictures with his bass.
Yeah, I did a meet and greet. It was a side of stage thing where you got to stand on the side of the stage for the first three songs, and we got a backstage tour. Of course, we got to meet him first. That was supposed to be the only meeting, the photo, and then that was it. You know, and then you got your tour, and you got to stand on the stage. So when I was getting my tour, he comes out. Like, it was the guy giving the tour was like, oh my God, you know, this doesn't happen. Because he knew, you know, I already had the tattoo done, so he knew me. So he comes out and he goes, well, did you play my bass yet? And I said, no. And he's like, oh man, you know. So then he goes and gets his bass and brings it back, and we're playing it together. He's showing me stuff. It was insane. Like, it's just, really, this is happening right now? When your hero is teaching you stuff on a 12-string bass? It's right. Crazy.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Okay, now, fast forward, or actually go backwards. About, God, maybe 5 years ago, I'm standing in line. Oh, actually, it was more like, shoot.
That's been a minute, yeah.
6 years ago.
So,
yeah, because, okay, so I'm standing in line at this thing called Days of the Dead in Atlanta, and Lee is standing right in front of me and with her friend Rhonda. And
yep.
We're standing there, and we're talking, and, you know, we're having a great time catching up. And, still before Podcast Rock City, and I'm getting in line, and I go, she goes, what are you going to get? What are you going to do? Are you going to get him to sign you? And I go,
for what? You haven't mentioned to what you're in line for.
Oh yeah. We were going to meet Ace.
Yeah.
It was a very bizarre that out of nowhere, I think they announced it like maybe a week or 2 weeks before it was just all of a sudden spur of the moment. So of course we were there, and, she goes, you're going to get him to sign you? And I go, I think I am. And then while we're standing there, I see the prices of the autographs, and I go, I think I can only afford one thing. And she's like, hell no, I'm paying for it. So Lee paid for the signature to get my leg. And that started, you guys all know, because you've been listening to the show over the years, the quest for, you know, all for it. And Lee kept telling me, you're going to get them all. It's going to happen. Got to be patient, and it took about 5 or 6 years, but it happened, and it's all because Lee, you know, pushed. She's like,
yeah,
and let me tell you, it was like $60 to get him to sign my leg and to repay her, which wasn't something I could do financially at the time, but she made a comment on my Fonz glass, my Arthur Fonzarelli glass.
That's right, I wanted it.
Yeah, she and then I made sure it got to her. I made sure that I sent her my, and it was vintage too. It was like,
I still have it.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that, you know, so now you see our connection is pretty deep. You know, I could go even deeper because I met her when I was working at a club, and I was working the parking lot, which is so many years ago. We don't want to go into that anyway. That's really. Kind of nuts. Anyway, okay, so fast forward, we did the show, right?
Yep.
Together. You've been a KISS fan. You've gone everywhere. You've gone to Vegas to see them.
Oh, yeah.
To see them. You've gone everywhere except the KISS cruise, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then when we started doing the show, you just got busy. And you really, you know, you really weren't a big fan of what was going on with Tommy and Eric being in the KISS makeup. Now, a lot of people out there you know where we're going with this. You know, you all know people, and you may be even one that don't like what's happening.
Right.
However, and it's been a bunch of years, and then all of a sudden I ran into Lee at the expo last week, and she says to me, go ahead.
I said, I'm no longer bitter. I'm not bitter anymore.
I read Paul's book.
Yes. I just couldn't accept it. They're so deep in my soul since I've been 11, you know. Kiss was Gene, Paul, Peter, and Ace, you know. And I, to see someone else in their makeup just, I don't know, it hurt. I just can't explain it. Like, the magic was gone. I was just like, what? I just couldn't accept it. You know what I mean? And I would still go to concerts because Gene and Paul were there. But just seeing Tommy doing Shock Me and all that, I just was like, this is not good, you know, and I just couldn't deal with it. So I've been a little bitter. I mean, I haven't totally, I love Kiss. I always will. You know, they're in my soul. They're all over my house. You know,
like, right.
But I had a hole, you know what I mean? Like, something was missing this whole time. And, so then I listened to Paul's book on the Audible, and it's actually Paul narrating it. It's kind of cool.
Best $30 I've ever spent on iTunes, dude.
Exactly. It was so cool to hear him saying it, you know, and after I heard it, and I was just like, you know what? I kind of understand now what went on. And I know there's four sides to every story, so I'm not, you know, I understand that. But it just kind of opened my eyes to the whole situation. And I just said, you know what? I got to let go. I got to release the bitterness and just accept it. And
you gotta face the music.
Longer, you know, they're going to be around doing it, you know, and I'm cool now, you know, I'm good. Yeah. I can't say I love it, but I accept it, and it's cool, and I'm fine. You know, I understand it, maybe, is better wording.
Right. I remember when you were going through this, I remember being like, man, this kind of sucks, because it's like Lee's identity is the goddess of thunder. You know, Lee's identity is Kiss. It's like me. It's like if I go to work and I'm not wearing a Kiss shirt, a student will say,
right.
I've never seen you not in a Kiss shirt. You know, it's your identity.
It's part of you. Yeah, it's part of you. It always has been, man, since middle school.
Yeah, and I watched you branch into, although you were always listening to things like Queensryche and Maiden and Dio.
Oh, yeah.
But I watched you really branch away from Kiss.
Yeah. You know,
at least it felt that way. It really felt like...
I never was away. I always listened to the old stuff, you know, and I just, you know, I refuse to listen to the new albums, you know, that kind of thing. But I always listened to the old, you know, Destroyer and all the old stuff, always. I never stopped.
So have you listened to, like, Monster and Sonic Boom now?
I did. I listened to them.
What did you think?
What'd you think? Be honest. It's okay.
There are some good songs. I mean, I didn't hate it. And some of them are actually really good, and it sounded like old Kiss, you know?
Yeah.
So. Trying to have an open mind, you know?
Yeah, that's how I look at it.
We were the same way. Now, we have reviewed both of those records, and, man, we pull no punches. We're brutal.
Yeah.
Sonic Boom, man. It's like...
Even Monster to a certain degree, but each one has at least, like, two or three that are like, yeah, this is Kiss, you know?
There's a few things, you know, a few decent things. You just gotta, it's like, life is ebbs and flows, and you gotta go with the changes, you know, roll with the changes, as REO says.
Now, I know that there's another podcast out there that has a female on it, but just remember that Lee Westy was the first female.
That's my friend Lisa. So
I know it's Lisa.
We're trying to go on the cruise this year together.
Yeah, I'm just teasing about that. I saw, as a matter of fact, when she first wound up on that show, Three Sides, I was like, get out. And I was like, yeah, but we were slick enough to have the first girl.
That's right. Not back.
So you and Lisa are thinking about coming on the cruise for the first time.
We are trying to figure it out.
It's amazing that you haven't been, in all honesty.
Well, actually, it wasn't because of the whole thing. It's because I have cruise phobia.
I feel you.
Oh.
I have an issue about, I don't know why, I've never even been on a cruise, but I feel like I'm scared.
Dude, I'm with you.
Like some kind of claustrophobia type of thing, and everyone's like, oh, you won't, it'll be fine, you know, and I just kept saying no. But this year, since I feel better about everything, and Lisa said she might want to go, so I'm like, well, let's give it a shot.
Yeah,
I see how much fun it appears to be, you know, and I really enjoyed this year at the expo. I've been missing that camaraderie, you know, because we haven't had an expo in so long.
Yeah, like 5 years or six years.
So I imagine the cruise is like 10 times that level.
It is floating expo.
Right.
You know, so I'm super excited about the chance that you might be on the boat. I'm hoping that it happens because it's just like, it's so crazy because it's like everybody will, you know, especially the people that you know, and you'll get on the boat and because, you know, you've been a fan for so long and you have been a guest at expos, you know, you have played expos, you have, you know, so there are going to be a number of people that'll know who you are, but you'll see me and you'll go, hey, what time are you eating breakfast tomorrow? And we'll all meet and just sit at a table. People you don't know will sit at the table. We eat breakfast. And of course we just kiss for 5 days. And at the end you get off and you go, oh God, I'm tired of talking about Kiss.
Right.
So that'll be good. We're going to keep everybody posted with that because if Lee gets on the boat, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah!
Hey, it's Paul Stanley here on Podcast Rock City.
So we're doing an episode, you know, not only about Lee and how she's come around and how do you feel about you think that it, obviously we understand why some people have a hard time with it, but do you think that it's now been so many years where they're just like,
no, you know, there's still people that are really pissed, you know, I've got to admit I've made my share of memes, you know, and I was never cruel about it. You know, I just kind of made fun. I just had fun with it. I wasn't like mean. Some people are really mean about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. One of my memes kind of went viral though. I was kind of proud of it.
Which one was it? Was it, wasn't the replaced Fraley, was it?
No, that wasn't mine. It was Ace hugging Tommy. They weren't in makeup and it said something like, that awkward moment when you have to hug the legend you are impersonating.
That's vicious.
I know. But
you know,
I mean, it was kind of funny. But there's some people that are brutal. Like, woo.
Yeah. Now, I'm not 100% on this, but were you friends with Tommy there?
No, I wasn't friends with him. But, I mean, back before he was, you know, when he was the manager and stuff, a few of the farewell shows, he put me up front because I was in costume, you know, and he put me and my friends up front several times.
I just remember a story about maybe you or somebody having to drive him somewhere, maybe gonna drive him to I don't remember. Maybe
I remember that. It wasn't me, but I know that story. I don't know who it was.
Somebody had to drive him.
Yeah.
You know, from Atlanta to the coffee house or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that story. Yeah. Okay, now here's something else cool about Lee. And this is really one of those neat things. Lee and I and our friend Doug have had the opportunity to get on stage with Bruce Kulick,
right,
and play Rock and Roll All Night with him. Yes. And I know that he walked over to you after. What did he tell you after we were done?
He told me that not many people get that bass line right, and I really had it right. It was grooving, you know, and I was like, oh, my God, Bruce Kulick just told me I was awesome.
So, and what a great thing. We did a band photo at the end. And did the paper call you to interview you for it?
I don't remember. Did they?
I don't know, but I got, you know, I made those things where I put the article from the paper in there and our picture.
Yeah.
And we all got them signed and I had you sign mine. And
yeah, it was like a guitar clinic Bruce put on at Doug's Music Store.
Right.
So he was doing that. And then at the end, we played Rock and Roll Night. It was so cool. And then we went to Hooters? We went afterwards and Bruce ate all my fries.
Yeah, I didn't go to that because it was funny because
I picked at my fries. It was fun, so fun to be able to sit at dinner and talk with someone like that.
Yeah, it was totally crazy. You know, see, my conversation was beforehand, where when we were waiting for everything to start, Doug and I and Bruce were sitting in this little room, and he was talking about, you know, some girl that he was, you know, I don't think he was dating her. He had met, and it's really, it was just so funny because Doug looked at me, and I was like, what? This is like Twilight Zone. I'm sitting in a room, like, having this conversation, you know, because Doug had just done the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp with him.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So, and that was a lot of years ago, too. So think about how our lives have changed so drastically since. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that's happened. But, you know, what I want to do is I want to get Lee's thoughts on Vinny at the expo. Now that you guys all know that Lee has come home.
I never was, you know, I always loved Kiss. They're always deep inside, you know, deep in my soul. Right. I just had a, you know, I just, it was hard for me to accept.
Right. But, no, and I get it because, you know,
I always put, like, on Facebook when people are bitching about it, I always said, this is just my opinion and every Kiss fan is entitled to feel how they feel. I was never like, you're wrong and I'm right, you know, which some people do that shit.
Yeah, right.
And I was always said at the end, that's how I feel. You know, you can feel how you want. We're all entitled.
Yeah. We used to have a guy that, and I'm sorry, but he does not, he's not on our Facebook page anymore. He's a friend. He had a 3-letter name and it was LON, and I'm not in anyway. So I'm not even. And he was so hateful, man. And towards us, but towards, you know, Tommy. And I was just like, oh God, that was at the beginning.
Yeah. And
it was really, he was a big Lizzie Borden fan. I just never forgot that.
Yep. Yeah, he is. I know him. Yep.
Anyway, so since now that we've caught up, let's talk about what we saw last week.
All right.
You know, like you said, it was our first expo in so many years.
Yeah.
You got to be there. Now, you were there the last time Vinny was in Atlanta.
Yeah. When he had makeup on.
Right. Yeah. He wore the makeup. That was crazy. And that was right when Kiss had just done the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for reunion, so now all these years go by, you see Vinnie Vincent. I mean, what'd you think? Did you think that? Were you amazed?
I was. I mean, I know all the gossip going around, and no one's sure what's going on with his appearance. You know, but
sure.
I don't know what you guys think, but.
Well, you know, I can say
more power to him. You know, if he's happy and he seemed very gracious and was like very touched that people came, he kept saying he never thought anyone would come see him. Like he thought he was forgotten, and he looked like he was going to cry.
He cried. He
was standing up, flapping, and it was packed.
Yeah, 1,000 people easy.
Yeah,
1,000 people easy.
I think it really touched him. Like he really seemed really genuine to me.
Yeah, I agree. It, you know, we now on the podcast, we didn't really talk so much about his appearance because what do we know? Nothing.
Nothing. Don't know.
They didn't address it at all. So, and there was so much hateful garbage being sent online that we felt, you know, but however, on the radio show this past week, Sonny and I did the show and we did touch on it a little bit. Yeah. Basically saying, it's 2018. You want to know? Nobody cares.
Right, exactly. Do people do what they live how you want, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is now. And, you know, when I got my picture, did you get your picture taken with him or did you get to meet him at all?
No, I didn't. It was just, I didn't get the VIP and the line was like 6 hours long. And
So when I got to meet him on the first day, I shook his hand and he talked to me for a second. And then when we were getting the pictures taken, I just kind of whispered to him, I said, I'm very proud of you right now.
Aww.
The picture got taken. He turned. He looked at me. And he goes, "You don't know how much that means." And it was more of the I think you and everybody else understood that whatever Vinny's going through or had been going through for him to walk out the door.
Yeah, I think it was hard for him.
Yeah, you know, it took a lot.
But
that's what it was. So, you know, we just got done interviewing. You know, this show is going to come out. This show is coming out a week later. We just got done interviewing Robert Fleischman. who's the original singer for the Vinnie Vincent Invasion. He's on the record. And we talked to him. What did you think when you saw them? Did you see them get on stage together and play?
Yeah, saw it.
What'd you think? Was it like... We were told today this was not planned out. This was
right.
Standing there and just waiting and waiting, and somebody just grabbed him and pushed him towards the stairs and said, go. And he went.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I liked it.
It was emotional because you is what was happening.
Yes.
And I think that the people that were there, the 1,000 of us that were in the room, everybody was respectful. Everybody was having a good time.
Yeah.
In the room. I can't speak for the people that were in line trying to get autographs and stuff.
6 hours.
Yeah. But everybody in the room inside the expo was super happy. Everybody was having a good time. You know, it definitely was a great experience. I was so happy and kind of shocked when they said Atlanta was going to be the place where this happened.
I know.
You know, think of all the places, but they had just done last year a New York Expo and an LA.
Wow.
You know, they could have gone anywhere, really, you know, Texas. Well,
Atlanta's kind of a mecca now. I mean, there's a ton of movies filmed here and all kind of shows, and so like a little Hollywood now, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of a big deal now.
Yeah. Jody, you have anything to ask?
Well, I am kind of curious about Lee's gear, you know.
Jody's a gearhead, okay? So.
Yeah, so what kind of basses are you playing, Lee?
Now you've asked the really good questions, because the answers you're about to get, Jody, are great. Go.
Well, I mean, for Iron Mullet, I have the Steve Harris Blue Fender, cool. Steve Harris Signature.
And, do you put your leg up on the monitor?
I try to. I don't know how he does it so easy.
You see a picture in your on your screen there, Jody?
Yeah.
That's the bass right there. I think she's pointing it towards the screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that for photos.
What else? Great.
And then I got the Hamer 12 string for the Dream Police. That was a lot of work to learn to play, cuz I had never used a pick before. So I had to have to use a pick on that.
Yeah.
So on top of learning to play a 12-string bass, I had to use a pick. Learn to use a pick. It was a lot of work.
Wow.
It's really fun. And then I have a Punisher. I have an axe. I have.
You got the Michael Anthony.
I got the Michael Anthony Yamaha, and I have a custom JD bass.
You got the Jack Daniels bass.
I had one made because I was in a female Van Halen tribute called She-ruption.
She-ruption. That's a great name.
Oh.
Yes. This goes back to my comment earlier about when Lee does something, she doesn't do it half-assed.
Right.
Hold on. She's like, oh, yeah, I got some guy making me a Jack Daniels bass. I was like, get the hell out of here, for real. I would have just walked out there with my stupid little cheap.
Oh, man, if you got to do it, you got to do it right.
Do it right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then, and now, okay, so... You're in the Dream Police. You're in Iron Mullet. You know they still play out a bit. And when I've gone to see you probably 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
What was it? Wild Wing, I think, is where.
Yeah, we play there.
Wild Wing Cafe. Listen, if you guys live in Atlanta or you're around Atlanta, just look up Iron Mullet or Dream Police. When was the last time you guys did something with them?
Oh, we did a Christmas benefit. We have a little break now. I'm having a lot of issues with my arms and hands right now, so I can't play as much as I used to, so it's kind of...
But still, you'll get up there for part of the show, at least. That's what you do.
Right. For Iron Mullet, I will, yeah.
That's awesome. The, So if you're in town and you know, if you can follow the Iron Mullet webpage, Facebook page, and you see that they're going to be playing, you know, go, I promise. The music is really well done. The band is tight. The singer is great. What's your guitar player's name? Olaf?
Olaf. Yeah, we've been together almost 9 years now. So.
Yeah.
The singer moved to New York a few years ago, but he comes down every 3 months for shows, and we have like one practice and we hit it, you know.
Yeah, I remember Lee telling me one time we were having band practice, and it's like, DDP from pro wrestling shows up, and could Singer chiropractor or something. Doctor
Craig, he does, him and DDP have their thing called DDP yoga, and the two of them do it. So they're really good friends. So we would practice in Craig's basement, and DDP would be like staying there. He'd just come down, hang out, stuff. It's cool. So,
for me as a wrestling fan, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's really funny too. He's really nice.
Yeah. So okay, so before, because we've been going, I don't know, about 50 minutes. Let's talk a couple more things before we go. Obviously, Gene is your favorite member of the band.
Yeah.
Okay. what's your favorite record?
Ooh, I always say Destroyer because it's the first one I bought with my own money that was mine. Like the Alive I took from my brother, and then the Originals I took from my brother also after Alive, which I still have all those. But Destroyer I bought with my own allowance, you know, and it was I still my favorite, I'd say.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's so awesome. And how many times have you seen Kiss now? Roundabout.
I can't even say. I really can't. I mean, the first time I saw him was 79, because before that, no one would, you know, I was too young. Nobody would, my mother wouldn't let me go. You know?
Right.
But, I mean, I saw 10 farewells, saw 4 reunions, so there's 14 right there. And I've been seeing them the whole time, you know, even, you know, without the makeup in the 80s.
Right. So,
I mean, it has to be up there.
40, I mean, you went to the Palms in Vegas.
No, yep.
Yeah, the Palms, I remember.
Yep.
It's funny because that's when you met Doug, who was my friend and my boss at the time. He came home. Yeah. And he goes, "You know somebody named Lee?" I'm like, "Yes, I know Lee." And it's so funny because it's
so weird.
And then Lee and I and Doug and Rick and Trey, when Trey was little, we all went to the movie theater to see the Symphony.
Symphony, yep.
Yeah, that was really great and a lot of fun. Exciting to watch people steal posters off the walls.
Yeah, run and see like the getaway car. Yep.
We were the getaway car. We still got awesome.
That poster too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so great.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City. They're the best.
Well, listen, Lee, it's been awesome to have you back on the show. You guys, if you haven't had a chance yet to listen, go back to the first few episodes. They're right there for you to listen to. It's raw, man, because we had no idea what we were doing. We did not know what we were doing. And some might say we still don't know what we're doing.
Man, they are serious.
But, you know,
start now.
If you think about the fact that the first show we did, you know, I remember going into work and telling Rick that was doing it with us, I remember going, "Hey, we had 45 people listen to the show this week."
Right, we were psyched.
And we were like, "Holy crap, 45 people?" And the next week we released a show, and the next day when the numbers came out, I said, "Hey, man, 145 people listened this week." And he was like, "For real?"
and listening to us?
Right. So by the time, after about 5 shows, we were about 300 people a week.
Yeah.
Listening to shows, and we were super excited about that. We're like, "Wow, look at that, 300 people a week." Do you know that Lee and those guys started what we do now, and we're up to 20,000 listens a week.
Dang.
You guys are amazing out there that you listen every week and you download, and at the expo you were talking to us and, you know, hanging out and, you know, telling us how much the show means to you, and it means a lot to us. We really appreciate it. And, you know, Lee and all those guys are always Podcast Rock City family. That's why, you know, you run into Lee and she says, "I want to come on the show." I go, "Great, let's do it. Let's see what happens." Because this was intriguing, I'm telling you, because I really never thought I would hear the day when Lee Westy said, "I've come to terms."
I've come to terms. I'm not bitter anymore.
Now we'll bring her on, you know, as often as we can, because she's fun and very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And we'll see if the quest to get Lee on Kiss Cruise, what is this going to be, 8?
Yeah.
Kiss Cruise 8 happens.
Hope so.
It's the one to go to, Lee. Ace is going to be there, plus 2 sets from Bob and Bruce.
Well, apparently if you've never been on the cruise, you're last in line to get booked, so we'll see what happens.
We'll have to see what happens. But still,
yeah.
It's
not impossible. Yeah, I can see this one selling out quick.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, especially since we did hear that apparently Gene and Ace have been trying to get in touch with Peter.
Oh, man.
They announced, they talked about that today, or yesterday. You know, Ace has been at Gene's vault sessions. Have you heard about this?
I watched a video today, actually.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you pay for that and Ace shows up also? That's crazy.
Yeah, so that was, so L.A., Sonny, who does the show with us, he was there. And they did not know Ace was going to be there, or Bruce, or Eric Singer. And wow. Now they did Miami, I guess, yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
And Ace was there again, and he said that he... now, obviously, you guys, it's a week later because we're recording this show. Because the Super Bowl is happening, and I want to make sure that I'm at my party. But anyway, they did, and apparently Ace and Gene said they've been trying to get in touch with Peter, but they can't get past Gigi. So,
well, I'm going to Charlotte. He's going to be at the Mad Monster party.
That's where I got my tattoo.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So that's when you got to show up, walk right, and go.
Hey, yeah. Gene's trying to get a hold of you, man.
Yeah, Gene. I'll tell you what. Here's your goal. Are you ready? Your goal is to get up.
Just as Pennywise, though, so that might be kind of awkward.
Oh, that's okay. Your Pennywise is really good. You did it before.
Yeah, it took me 5 hours to create put the makeup on.
So if you're gonna see Peter at that show, at that thing, you got to try to get us a bumper.
Oh, okay.
Ask him when Gigi's not around.
Yeah.
Get your phone, smile with your pretty face, and it'll work, you know? Well, you're going to be scared.
I'm not going to be pretty.
Just get it, hold out your phone and go, could you please, and smile.
I'd just threaten him and be like, don't you want a balloon? You have to give us a bumper.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you, Lee, for coming on. We really appreciate it. Joe, do you have anything to add?
I would add, hey, Lee, it was nice to talk to you. It was nice to meet you in Atlanta last week, and thanks for coming back on. This is great. I was a fan I was one of those people in the original 40 that were listening.
All right.
Cool. I was messaging Joe like first week going, man, you guys have a cool thing going here.
Yeah. And he really was, because he was emailing us right away. It was awesome. It's funny because I was listening to his show as well, and it just worked out. Like I said, if you guys want a chance to follow Lee, man, she's what are you on Instagram, Facebook, everything, and you, like I said, there's tons of old photos. It's awesome. And you know what I'm gonna say? We listen to podcasts and we love Kiss podcasts, and you're gonna hear the commercials for everyone that we listen to right after this. In 3, 2, 1, peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f- oh, f- Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation.